proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We continue looking at God's servant in Isaiah chapter 53, turning our attention to the fifth verse of that chapter. Isaiah provided the explanation as to why God's servant experienced the miseries described in the prior verse. The servant suffered, not on account of his own sins, but on behalf of the sins of others. Isaiah noted that, quote, he was wounded for our transgressions, unquote. As in previous verses, the prophet employed two personal pronouns, he and our. The former word, he, cannot apply to the Jewish nation. If it did, Isaiah might well have written that, quote, we were wounded for our transgressions. He would use the first person plural. Chalal, the Hebrew verb rendered as wounded, implied that God's servant experienced degrees of defilement. Such desecration, in connection with Jesus Christ's sufferings, had its physical and metaphysical aspects. The Lord's treatment in the high priest's palace, coupled with the scourging that the Romans gave to him, these maltreatments degraded the Savior bodily. The more extensive wounding that he suffered took place when he hung on the cross, bearing the sins of the world upon himself. Isaiah added that the servant, quote, was bruised for our iniquities, unquote, a sentence which essentially restated the preceding sentence. The Hebrew verb used, dakah, is translated as bruised. It implied that the servant's suffering involved not only physical torment, but personal humiliation as well. Jesus Christ certainly underwent such mortification over the remaining hours of his earthly ministry. His Jewish adversary spat in his face and physically battered him. His Roman captors placed a crown of thorn upon his brow and ridiculed him, crying out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" As the writer of Hebrews stated, the Savior thus, quote, endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, unquote. Isaiah continued by observing that, quote, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, unquote. God's servants would take upon himself the punishment that others deserve to receive. In a sense, therefore, he functioned as a whipping boy, suffering on behalf of the sins of others, not for his own sins. Some Jewish writers have posited the view that God utilizes Jewish suffering as a means of atoning for the sins of the world. If that were the case, however, Jews ought to embrace their travails rather than bewail them. The Holocaust, for instance, ought to receive the maximum of Jewish commendation because of all the misery the Jewish people went through during that interval. Yet most Jews consider the Holocaust as a major tragedy for the Jewish people, and rightly so. In the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, God decreed that, quote, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, unquote. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, however, God the Father, quote, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, unquote. Through Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, transgressors can have peace with God, as implied in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Isaiah also wrote that, quote, with his stripes we are healed, unquote. These words do not suggest that God's servant's sufferings provided therapeutic relief for human ailments. Instead, the healing provided by the servant entailed restoring sinners to God's favor. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.